And HornFM.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Woo! All right, stop on the text line with the nicknames for James Hart, James Harden. James Larden is not funny. James Not Harden is not funny, and I like this one, Buck. Don't go with the James Don't Squeeze the Charmin.
Oh, my goodness.
See? Love him while he's there, and now he's in Brooklyn. Oh, and reports this morning that Kyrie Irving not expected into the lineup about in the next week or so. They're not sure.
Man, what do they pay these guys for?
The playoffs.
Do they ever play? Oh, just the playoffs? Oh, I got it.
And remember, Kyrie runs the team. He doesn't need a coach. And, yeah, that's now the word. That remember, Kyrie Irving kind of disappeared from the team. They didn't know where he went and what was going on. And finally, he it's just amazing how they have to treat these players with like walk on eggshells with these guys. Like, he doesn't want to make them mad because they run the team. And we want Kyrie to be. So he left the team, didn't tell anybody. They didn't know, didn't know where he was. Finally, he popped up and kind of explained where he'd been, and oh, okay. Then he shows up on like some political video the other night talking about politics and what's going on in the country, and still not showing up. And now the word that he is indeed disgruntled because he wasn't consulted enough on the hiring of the new head coach, Steve Nash.
It's too bad. I used to really like the NBA, but it doesn't intrigue me whatsoever. I didn't really watch it until towards the playoffs anyway, most of the times. And I didn't watch much of it playoff time this year, and right now it's not doing anything for me. I don't particularly, if there's a game on, I just move along and find something else on TV.
Well,
there's too much, like I said, there's too much TMZ with it. There's not enough real substance until, if the Warriors play, I'd like to see how they're coming along and whatever, but I just don't have much, use for it. To me, yeah. I just don't. I watch a good college game now.
You know, I'm with you. As a Rockets fan growing up, and I've never been a big fan of James Harden's. I think they can move forward now and move on without Harden. You never trade a superstar and get commensurate. But at the same time, I'm kind of with you. But I'm hoping I can now turn back and watch the Rockets root for him. And not that I didn't root, but I don't know. My passion was never behind the Rockets with James Harden at the helm. When Chris Paul was there with him, I really got into it because I enjoyed watching Chris Paul. And the warrior that he was, and the way he played the game and led the team, and Harden kind of fell in line behind that. But it's been a mess. So the Rockets move forward. I am intrigued by what's going on in Dallas with the Mavericks and Luka and Kristaps Porzingis coming back. There's some fun there. But you're right. In general, especially this year, I'll watch a college basketball game, including last night's, which was disappointing for Texas. Let's get to that. Let's get to your headlines, your thoughts on it, including from college basketball, something Fran Fraschilla said that I want to ask Zay if he thinks it's true. It's a pretty bold statement, but first let's get to the news. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news, and we'll start with the breaking news from the NFL, where Adam Schefter of ESPN this morning reporting that Jacksonville, the Jaguars, and former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal to become the new head coach of the Jags. At this time, Urban Meyer has let everyone know the only job he's considering is Jacksonville, according to Schefter, and they'll see if they can get that deal done. Urban Meyer to Jacksonville, who, of course, owns the number one overall draft pick in this April's draft, plus 11 picks in the draft and a lot of cap space with the Jags. Basketball last night, college hoops, disappointing night at the Irwin Center, the fanless Irwin Center for the 15th-ranked Longhorns. They get stunned by Texas Tech. 15th-ranked team in the country came to town and beat them, 79-77. Texas dominated the first half as Saturday's hero Andrew Jones fired in 18 first-half points. Texas built a 10-point lead at 48-38, but in the second half, it was mostly Red Raiders. They limit Andrew Jones to just two, outscored the Horns 41-29, and in the final 5 minutes, it was all about Texas Tech as they come from behind to get the victory. And the game winner came as the clock was ticking down under 5 seconds from the Georgetown transfer, Matt McClung.
Red Raiders going to work for a final shot to try to win. Into the front court. On the right side is McClung. 5 seconds. McClung trying to drive. A three-pointer. Good! 2.2 to go. You just had a feeling it was coming. And Tech is up three with 2.2 to go.
That got reversed to a two-point shot with a foot on the line, they said. Video was tough, but so a two-pointer didn't matter. 79-77, they win the game. Shaka Smart's Longhorns suffer their first loss in conference play. A lot of mistakes for the Horns in the second half, including missed a lot of foul shots.
you know, obviously we missed some free throws down the stretch and throughout the game. You know, when you shoot 58% from the foul line and, you know, lose by, you know, one shot in the last minute of the game, you certainly can point to that.
Certainly so. They'll try to regroup and rebound on Saturday night, playing Kansas State at the Irwin Center. That's a 7 o'clock tip. Texas women in action tonight at the Irwin Center, hosting Kansas. That game also tips at 7. As we've talked about, the bomb that the entire NBA world was waiting to detonate finally did yesterday. Rockets send their disgruntled star James Harden to Brooklyn in a 7-player, 4-team blockbuster. Dramatically alters the landscape of the league. Harden joins Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. Rockets come away with Victor Oladipo from Indiana and 4 future first-round draft picks and 4 future unprotected pick swaps from the Nets. On the floor last night, Dallas top Charlotte 104-93. The return of Kristaps Porzingis highlighted that game. He's back after that October knee surgery at 16 in the game. Texas football, priority number one for head coach Steve Sarkisian now that he's on the ground in Austin, assembling his coaching staff. Further confirmation from multiple sources yesterday and reports that Alabama offensive line coach Kyle Flood will indeed be joining the staff for Coach Sark, with the title of offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. He's expected to be in town today to finalize that deal. Meanwhile, back in Tuscaloosa, ESPN reporting that former Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien is finalizing a deal with Nick Saban to become Steve Sarkisian's successor as the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And that's the news.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass, 2020. Start 21 off right by renting or purchasing your equipment for home projects at Top Gun.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
This guy says...
You could hear the disappointment in Shaka Smart's voice. That was one of those games. Damn it, we should have won that game. We were right here at home. We were up by 15 at one time in the first half. And then we just kind of let it slip away. We just didn't keep our foot on the throats of the team we were playing, and they had the opportunity to do so at home. And no matter what, shoot 58% from the free throw line, that's where you lost the game. You can talk about how you had a great lead and everything else, but, man, it's difficult in college basketball to go 58% and there's nobody there and you're sitting at the foul line. I mean, all you need to do is shoot 70%. Well, and that ain't all that great, but that would have won you the game.
Yeah, I thought Zay said it best earlier that the optimistic side is you played really bad, especially in the second half, and you still almost won the game. And if you could have made a couple of those foul shots, or if Matt Coleman or Courtney Ramey had, you know, Ramey was rough down the stretch. He had a big turnover on an inbounds play when Texas Tech threw a press on them. He also missed a wide open layup, a bunny under the basket. He threw a ball away, and you know, he had one big three in the final 8 minutes. But other than that, I think he went 0 for 4, 0 for 5 shooting the basketball and had that big turnover. And Matt Coleman, who's been so clutch this year, did not have a good late game. And I'd also give Chris Beard a lot of credit. I thought this is what you've come to expect from Chris Beard. He coached his team to the national title game a couple years ago. X's and O's, he's as good as it gets. I mean, throwing that press at the right time to create a turnover. What he did on Andrew Jones in the second half, Jones had 18 in the first and just 2 in the second. They really eliminated Andrew from the offense, and Texas allowed that to happen. But in the end, you're right. I mean, you know, we didn't nitpick every possession when they beat West Virginia because Andrew Jones hit a big shot. In this case, you know, foul shots killed you. You're 18 of 31. It wasn't like you weren't being aggressive and not getting to the foul line. You shot 31 foul shots last night.
Well,
there were games last year where Texas would not shoot any foul shots. They're at least getting to the foul line. They only made 18 of them, though, last night.
Well, I nitpicked about Corey Ramey and his play, his being
a
defender, because a kid from West Virginia ate him up. And now all of a sudden last night, you know, down the stretch, they went after him. And they're going to continue to go after him if he doesn't pick up his defense. If his defensive play late in games and they're in big ball games, which they're going to be in the Big 12.
Sure.
They're going to look at – he's going to be the guy that they go after. They're going to put their best guy with the ball in his hand and can get his own shots and go after him, whether it's going to the hoop and getting fouled or having pull-ups on him. And that's just the way it is. When you get to that point now, it's been kind of back-to-back games, they're going to look at the film and say, okay, we get clutch time. Here's the guy I want you to go after. But, all in all, that simple inbound play, I mean, great call by Chris Beard, but, my God, get the ball inbounds or call timeout.
You know, he turned
away from the basket.
Well, it was very casual, right? He turned around expecting just to have an easy inbound pass to his guy, Matt Coleman, and all of a sudden there's a press, and he doesn't recognize it. And instead of calling a timeout, or, you know, he just kind of
put it right in the hands of the kid.
Threw it right to the guy for a layup, which obviously in a close game was huge. Yeah, there were several of those down the stretch. And I think the number was from the seven-minute mark on, Texas at the seven-minute mark was up 5 points, 67-62. and they outscored Texas 17-10 down the stretch. And yeah, big miss free throws, big miss shots, big turnovers, and that's how close.
Yeah,
games
those are
go.
The ones you don't want to see them lose. Yeah, I mean, I'd say I agree with you that even though they played really, really bad, they were in it. But dude, those are the ones you don't want to lose. Those are the ones when you're in at your home court. That's a win that you. That's why Shaka sounded the way he did. I mean, he knows how disappointing that
well,
is
and it's,
for his team. It's a home game.
Well, it's kind of like we talked about with, you know, the bird in the hand thing, right? To win at Kansas and at West Virginia, those two really tough
yes.
road environments, gives you a chance to sweep those teams potentially when they have to come play you in the Irwin Center in the Big 12 play because you get them both twice. Well, now Texas Tech has that opportunity on you because they beat you here. And now you
right.
have to go to Lubbock later in the season where they're very tough to beat in that arena. Isaiah Collier, you said earlier that not only did they play poor and almost won, but they also maybe needed this, maybe a little bit of humble pie in that second half because they were getting a little high on themselves. When things were coming easy for him in the first half.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of chirping with these guys. Courtney Ramey, he's a junkyard dog. He'll talk a couple times throughout the game. And Andrew Jones, you know, after he makes shots, he'll go down the court with, you know, the three signal holding up. So these guys, I think they got humbled last night, and they could be beat by anybody if they don't play up to par. So yeah, they needed that game.
Well, and word is, you know, it's funny to hear like our buddy Brian Davis from the Statesman and the guys covering the game in the media. There are no fans, so it's dead silent. And by all accounts, Matt McClung, when he fired the shot, said game as it left his hand. Game. You know how you do on the
ooh,
playground, Zay?
Ooh.
Game. Because you know it comes off your hand good. Oh, man. And then, of course, the same guy said that they could hear the Red Raiders post-game celebration in the locker room because there's no crowd to dull any noise, and that's a weird, weird thing to have that happening. But
that'll wake you up. That'll wake you up a little bit if you're Texas to hear that.
What game?
To hear the celebration.
Oh yeah, if they could hear it out where they're writing their story, you know the Longhorns could hear it in their locker room. So yeah,
We'll
see how they respond. Kansas State Saturday night. It's not like a season loss situation. It's one game, but
no.
It could be costly big picture. But just your first and Texas, your own worst enemy. I mean, your lack of execution, and that's the one thing that's been a problem for Shaka Smart teams at Texas. But this year, they've been great in the clutch. They've won those close games, excellent until last night. And so fixable problems all with the foul shots and the mental lapses there. All right, Buck, during the game, Fran Fraschilla, who was calling the game last night as the color analyst on ESPN, made a statement saying, I don't want your thoughts on this. He says, they were talking about the power rankings of college basketball. I think we would agree that Gonzaga and Baylor are the top two teams in the country, and they are right now. Baylor's had eight games canceled or postponed. But Fraschilla said that Mark Few and Gonzaga have three first-team All-Americans. Is that true? I know I've watched them play, and I think they're good. But literally, if you have three first-team All-Americans, that means three of your starting five are that good. That if that's true, Zay, that no one's beating Gonzaga.
They're close. It's close. Jalen Suggs, who's going to get drafted in the top five this year, he's their point guard. He's an absolute stud. And then Drew Timmy, that went to BK's high school alma mater. I don't know how we let him get out, but he knew that if I play for Mark Few as a big man, then I have a really good chance of going to the NBA. And then Corey Kesper, which is one of my favorite players in college basketball. He's 6'7", pure form. Like, he's going to be a steal for an NBA team.
There you go. Well, and so if Gonzaga, if that's true, I mean, even if they don't bug it, there's only five guys on the first team All-Americans. But if you got three of them in your starting lineup,
right,
you're going to be tough to beat. And unfortunately, because of COVID, Baylor was supposed to play Gonzaga earlier this year. That got postponed. Baylor's matchup with Texas in December got postponed. And then, of course, their game with West Virginia the other night. So Baylor, I think, is in that mix too. And Texas wants to be in that conversation. But I do think it's games like last night that bring you back to reality as a Texas fan, that this is a really good team. They can be a top, 2-3 seed, maybe, compete for the Big 12. But big picture, guards have to play better down the stretch. And as you said, defensively, are the smaller guards at Texas be able to match up with the bigger guards at Baylor, Gonzaga, and the top teams in college basketball? That'll be when it comes down to brass tacks, that'll be the determining factor.
I saw the game the other day. I saw Oklahoma State play Kansas, and Oklahoma State got out to a big lead on Kansas, and man, Bill Self must have got in his players' rear end, because when they came back in that game, they looked nothing like they did against Texas. They looked like a Kansas team.
And then they lost the game.
Yeah, and when you watch them, then they, as the season goes on, that's a team that, for some odd reason, they just get better at the end of the year. Bill Self, his team always seem to be ready when tournament time comes. You look at them at the beginning of the season, you go, that's not quite one of those Bill Self's teams that's going to be there. And then they're always there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for Shaka, that's what these guys have to, Zay, continue to build as the year goes on. And they have to be upset about losing a game like that. They can't settle for we were in it. They got to settle for we should have won it. And they have to get better each and every week. And they got to continue to get better as defenders. I watched Greg Brown play last night. That guy is still now I understand why he'll be a, you know, maybe a lottery pick or he's a good draft pick. He's just so active all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He never like takes a play off. He's one of those guys that don't take plays off. They just obviously his dad, you know, his dad being a big time athlete, he doesn't take a play off.
No.
When he hits the court, he's all arms and legs, and you know, he may not be a great shooter, but he's real active, and people like to see that when you don't take any of the plays off. But when you got a guy, you're going to try to D him up, and he's not always 100%, but I know one thing he does. 100% of the time, that guy is
hustling.
Is on you and,
well, no, I mean,
and hustling, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He took two charges last night. He had a bunch of rebounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a big three down the stretch that was from the top. That was a big shot that gave Texas a chance. And I love the story Fran Fraschilla told when he talked about at Kansas, his father, Greg Brown Sr., you know, he got taken out of the game, and Greg told him, hey, you got to play harder. Got to play harder. Yeah, you got taken out. And, Zay, you've seen Greg Brown through his high school career at Vandegrift. He, you know, his dad's his toughest critic. His dad's his toughest coach, which is good as a former athlete himself. And I know Shaka appreciates what Pops brings. That's not always the case. A lot of times parents will defend their kid to the hilt and get mad at the coach for being too hard on him. That's the opposite in the Greg Brown case.
Yeah, he's always crashing the boards. He has a really high motor, and I know that's what NBA scouts love, because at 6'9", you know, you look who the best player in the NBA is, that's LeBron James. You need players to guard guys like that, and Greg, you know, has really good upside when it comes to being an NBA player. And one thing about the Texas team defensively, they switch everything, which that means – you could take advantage of those mismatches because you got bigs or Courtney Ramey and, you know, guys like Matt Coleman trying to guard bigs, and everybody has to collapse on that. So when you switch everything, you could get exposed.
And McClung got him last night with the game winner, and that was your ball game. So we'll talk Texas hoops. By the way, can I just say one of the things on Fran Fraschilla, my third point on Fran, because I was watching the game. At one point last night, like, he made a comment that he got into it, and I think he was trying to get out of it. He's talking about Greg Brown staying at Vandegrift and playing there and not going off to an AAU team or to one of those super prep teams that he could have done for high school. And he walked down the line of, he grew up playing with all these 6-foot guys at Vandegrift High School. And I think he was heading down the line of white guys. I think he was heading down the line of white guys, if you know what I'm saying. Because he was describing Vandegrift, the suburb of Austin, 20 miles northwest. And he grew up playing with all these. And then he heard him pause. And then he said, I have to get this audio. And he said, six-foot guys. Basically saying,
did he say, if you know what I mean?
If you know what I mean. And he was giving him credit that he stuck with those guys because those are the guys he grew up playing with, wanted to play with his high school buddies in high school instead of going off like a lot of these kids do to prep school or, you know, some basketball factory, which he could have done. But I think that comes back to his parents and, you know, Longhorn fans both are Kurt's graduates, and Greg played defensive back at Texas back in the day. So easy guy to root for in Greg Brown for sure. But I thought that was funny from Fran Fraschilla. So Texas basketball, disappointing loss, got to regroup quickly. And you mentioned that Kansas game, Buck, real quick. One other basketball note. You know, that Kansas, Bill Self got into his team and they came back. They lost that game because Oklahoma State scored the last 8 points of the game, or 7 points. And that's, Mike, when you look at this Big 12 and you look at Texas' backcourt, Cade Cunningham, as that guy gets better, he's the best freshman in the country. The reason Kansas lost that game, they were down big, they came all the way back, took the lead, and you felt like, okay, this is a typical Bill Self team, they're going to win this game. Cade Cunningham took over the game in the last minute, and that's going to be a problem. I don't think Oklahoma State can't go to the tournament this year because of their NCAA punishment, but they can spoil some stuff for teams. As that kid gets better and gets stronger in the Big 12, he is really dynamic, man. That is 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, he's the one who got them out to a big
league. Yeah.
He's got him, and he was, like, on fire.
Yeah, and then he helped them win it when Kansas came all the way back. And so that's the thing. And I'd also say for Chris Beard at Texas Tech, when you talk about getting in players, you know at halftime last night he was into his guys, giving up 48 points to Texas in a half. That is not the style that Chris Beard likes to play. And now it's time for Shaka Smart to get into his team a little bit, and maybe with a loss.
Yep. You're right.
That, you know, you can do just that and say, hey, guys, time to come off the hill a little bit here and get back to some basics. Let's shoot some foul shots here. So Longhorns, K-State, Saturday night. We've got the big James Harden trade. Okay, here's another one. What do you think of this one, Bug? You guys need to leave James Olive Harden alone. See, come on.
Olive Harden. Oh, wow. That's great. That's a great one.
Oh, no.
Olive Harden.
Oh, these.
What the heck?
These names for James Tubby Harden are too much. You know, magically he'll lose that weight here now that he gets to Brooklyn. All of a sudden he'll get back to the gym and he'll shed. It'll be.
I'm
like,
glad for Brooklyn. I'm glad. We won't have to talk about him that much. That he becomes their headache.
Well, just wait if they win the East.
For those three to get along, woo.
Well, and
tough.
Here's what I wonder, and we've got some good friends of ours that are real close with Kevin Durant. We got to reach out, but I mean, I know Kevin Durant wanted to get out of Golden State, but did he need to? I mean, Golden State, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, real solid organization, a lot going for them. They've got they take James Wiseman this year, the first pick. I know Durant wanted something new, but man, Brooklyn. With what is that franchise? Who's the ownership? What are they doing? Kyrie? You wonder if Kevin Durant all of a sudden looks around and says, here's Harden, here's Kyrie, two of the biggest divas in this sport. And by the way, Kevin Durant's playing at MVP level right now. Kevin Durant's playing unbelievable, but he needs help. And those guys, do they want to play basketball or not? Harden and Kyrie becomes a big question.
Yeah, that is the question. How much do they really want it? Well, we already know how much James Harden wants it. I mean, like I said, he's so much flash and not enough substance. Can he turn that around with Kevin Durant? He's been around Kevin Durant before, so we'll see how it works. I mean, the NBA is like – it's not like it used to be, or it's not like football. You like staying in a place and having teammates for 5 and 6 years. The NBA, after about 3 years, you look at you look at the city, you look at your players, whether you're winning or losing. It's like, I need to go to another city. I need to find out how this city is. What's New York like? What's Chicago like? It's they like to be on the move now. It doesn't look like they could care less if they were at a place for 10 years. You know.
Well, look,
now,
that started with LeBron.
The dude with the Mavericks,
Eagles, right?
You got to keep him there.
And that
you're going to have to keep him, Luka.
And you know, we talked about it. We've been on the air a long time. That when LeBron went to Miami, that kind of started this whole trend of these super teams being formed by the players. And you know, this is what James Harden wanted. He wanted to be in Brooklyn. He said that from the jump last summer. And, you know, he ends up getting his way. Rockets did get what they could for it, you know, with Victor Oladipo and the picks. But, he's now Brooklyn's problem. I'm not going to root for him. Oh, that's for sure. But, and we'll see. My question, because I do like Kevin Durant. I root for Kevin Durant. Did he leave a great situation for that? It was his choice. He could have gone anywhere in the league. He wanted to go. He went to Brooklyn and you know, hand-picked Kyrie Irving, vice versa. And now here comes James Harden to join the fray for Steve Nash as the head coach. All right, so B&E with you. This says Oklahoma State can go to the tournament this year. Is that right, Zay? So they were on suspension last year, and, of course, we didn't have a tournament. So I just assumed that would carry over to this year and Oklahoma State wouldn't be allowed to go dancing.
Now they can go.
That's what this texter is saying. I'll have to look that up in the break. But then Kate Cunningham could become a problem for teams come tournament time. I was thinking they couldn't because of the NCAA issues. But if they can, that's a guy. That guy's really good. All right, we'll come back. There's some hoops. A lot of hoops talk right there. We'll get back to the football, divisional weekend, and the NFL's playoffs. We've got Steve Sarkisian building his staff, and obviously the monster breaking news of the football industry this morning. Urban Meyer in talks to finalize a deal to become the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars this morning. We'll get you the very latest.
Exit shut down northbound I-35, exit 259A. We're talking about the Georgetown area, Austin Avenue, south.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on this Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons and Buck Offs on the 14th day of January. New Year is here, and it's chock full of a ton of stories. Blockbusters all, the trade of James Harden. And the nicknames keep coming in, Buck. Jeez, you people are mean to my man James.
Absolutely.
This guy says, you guys should be a little softer on James Harden. I mean, come on, he tries. I like it. I like it. It's James Olive Harden now for a little while. James Olive Harden.
I like that. I love Olive Harden. That's great.
Oh, man. It says the NBA is the model of having diva players run the league. Is it sustainable? I don't know. I mean, you just said you're not watching much, and
no,
I did. You know, bucked on the NBA for the bubble and the efforts in the bubble. I thought it was fun to watch the basketball in the bubble last summer and the compressed playoffs. But and we're only in January, so you know the important games, most important games of their season comes, you know, in the summer. But yes, it is frustrating.
Now that you've let those dudes get loose, I mean, now they're getting a bunch of games canceled. You know.
Yeah, I mean it's frustrating.
Some of the ways those guys handle themselves, there's a number of James Hardens out there. So I don't know. I don't know how they, you know, they're going to have a bunch of cancellations.
The thing is in the NBA, it's always been this way in that one individual superstar can change a franchise's fate forever, right? I mean, it's
correct.
You land Tim Duncan, or you land Hakeem, or you land Michael Jordan. You know, you're a contender.
Or Kareem back in the day.
Yeah,
yes.
And one player can change the fate. And so you move heaven and earth to get to that one player. And if you get him, then you build around him and you add other stars. And other stars want to come play with him. And there's only five guys on the floor. So it's always been a player-driven league. But, yes, it's becoming more and more like the crazy ex-girlfriend, right, that you know she's crazy and you know she is. So you walk on eggshells to not make her mad. And you know you're going to have to deal with that. But you put up with it, and you've put yourself in a position to where you have to put up with it, and that's where the Rockets were with James Harden. They went out of their way to try to build the roster around him. Because early on, they when they acquired him and Daryl Morey pulled off the coup to get him. Remember, he was the third guy in Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden the Rockets landed their superstar. So all of a sudden you go to, and I think some people argue Tracy McGrady on the text line. I do believe James Harden's the most talented player that franchise has had since Hakeem. He's the second most talented player in the history of the organization, arguably. He's a MVP, scoring champion, all that. So they went to work building around him and letting him be the alpha, and they realized, wait a second, come playoff time, he's not the alpha. He wilts come playoff times. He doesn't rise up and lead you to championships. So, okay, but he's still a great player, and they're hard to find. So let's go get other great players around him. Let's go get Chris Paul and put Chris Paul around him. And Chris Paul almost helped drag them to a championship, potentially, a few years ago. And then the Russell Westbrook experiment, and now the John Wall was the appeasement this year because Russell and James didn't get along. Well, again, here you are, Buck. You've done everything you can, and it's still not good enough. It's still not good enough, and he still demanded to be traded. So now he's out of shape, eating an Olive Garden every day or wherever he's eating, and not buying into a new coach. And so he forced his way out, and that's typically how that's going to work when you've got someone that is driving. That is all the cards. Right, all the cards, and I think that goes to the long-term sustainability question. Is it moving more and more in that direction, and young players are watching this as they grow up, and they're not seeing a lot of team basketball, Buck?
No, it's just the way of the NBA. There, as I said before, there used to be one or two of those that you'd hear, and you'd be shocked that this player got a coach fired. You'd be like, what?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I mean, really? The organization let that one guy do it? Now there's like 10 guys. They changed the whole fate of the NBA, and they continue to control the NBA. And when they get upset, they do anything. I mean, they put your life in danger. You know, that's just weird. That's just weird. They had to get rid of him, and they did it in a hurry too. I mean, they've been trying to give him what he wants, but when it got to that point of just flat out, when all the other players on the team are saying he's not even playing for us, he's not even trying, you had to say goodbye to him. You get what you can get, but you can't. You can't play with a guy like that. You can't make him satisfied.
Well, exactly. And again, it's like the super, super high maintenance girlfriend, right? You're never going to, whatever happens, he's still going to end up being mad. And that's probably a sign it's a bad relationship. It's probably not healthy. And that's kind of, I know my buddies and I had talked for a while about, they should have traded James Harden off an MVP year and get, just rebuild the team, understanding that this relationship is never going to work. It's just, I know that's hard to do. It's hard to swallow, but. And you probably get criticized for it in a bad way, but at the same time, big picture, where you want to be 5 years from now, and here you are. Now the Rockets they got a bunch of first-round draft picks that'll probably be late-round draft picks because of the talent in Brooklyn. And,
absolutely.
And what are you going to do with that? You got free you got cap space and, pick swaps and Victor Oladipo, who's a free agent. But that's
going to be tough going for them for a while, but that's okay. It's better to build and have that guy hanging around.
Yeah.
Getting everybody infected, headed off to strip clubs. That's all the drama that he has going on. He wouldn't do anything else for the team. And if you're not going to do anything for the team, see you later.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Coach Sark getting getting his offensive line coach and offensive coordinator to come with him to Texas. That's a big get for him. That's one of the most important gets, and especially on that side of the football. You can have all the great wide receiver coaches or running back coaches that you want, but if you get a guy that you trust at offensive line and a guy who's had success like Coach Flood has had, it's big time. To me, it's the most important get besides who his defensive coordinator
yep.
is going to be. And once again, I think he's taking his time on the defensive coordinator. There's really no rush. There really is. And I know you got maybe some JUCO guys that you may want to know who's going to be the defensive coordinator. What position am I going to play and all that stuff. But I think taking your time and getting the right defensive coordinator is more important than worrying about your JUCO players or some
of the
other players in February.
There's no individual recruit that can help you enough right now that's bigger than getting the right defensive coordinator in place, right?
And developing the guys that you have.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, the Chris Ash interview happened yesterday or will happen today, one of the two. And by the way, the Chris Ash conversation, the news this morning of Urban Meyer deep into final talks potentially with Jacksonville to become the new head coach of the Jaguars, you know, that impacts Chris Ash because there has been talk that because Chris Ash worked with Urban Meyer at Ohio State as a defensive coordinator before he went off to Rutgers to be the head coach. And there has been scuttle that, you know, if it's not going to be here at Texas, Chris Ash could end up with Dan Mullen at Florida, or he could end up with Urban Meyer in the NFL coaching, you know, cornerbacks
position
or secondary.
Coach, yeah.
In the National Football League, so not like he doesn't have options. Also this morning, Buck, you're talking about the current staff versus the old staff. Looks like Coleman Hutzler, who did a great job, I thought, this year at the linebackers, who came in for 1 year, word that he's headed to Ole Miss to work with Lane Kiffin, back into the SEC. I saw where Mark Hagan, the defensive line coach, along with Oscar Giles last year, landed a gig at Purdue. So the guys that came in here for one and done. And, let me say this on a Buck Off Thursday, huge Buck on to those guys. You know the life of a football coach, Buck, and you uproot your family and you move places. Those guys that I'm mentioning, Coleman Hutzler and Mark Hagan and, you know, all those coaches that came, maybe Chris Ash, you know, they knew what they were getting into. And obviously, you know, I could argue they have a strong argument. They did a good job. They went 7-3. You know, they weren't making a lot of those player rotation decisions. And I did see the improvement on the football team this year from a slow start. But I think about those guys, and here's why I say Buck on, Buck, because you know how tough it is on a family. They did that during a pandemic, and they didn't know when they took the job there was going to be a pandemic.
Right.
But they never got to get to know Austin. I mean, they lived here. I'm sure they just lived in their apartment or their house, wherever they were, on Zoom calls the whole time.
With their families.
With their families. I mean, it's a lot to ask. And you know the vagabond lifestyle of a coach, but I would say Buck on to those gentlemen and their families. I think they did a really nice job for the University of Texas in a short amount of time.
Yeah,
and best of luck to them.
When the pandemic hit, they weren't thinking about moving. They were thinking about keeping your wife and your kids where they are,
right?
Talking to them and making sure that they're safe there and not picking up and traveling all over the country. And when you got to do that, you got to move. That means people come into your house when you got to move. I mean, it's that really is tough on them. And I know it must have been. You know what you're getting into this business, and it still doesn't make it any easier when you get fired. It doesn't matter if you've been in a job for 30 years, 20 years, 2 years, 1 year. When you get fired, it hurts. It really does. And when you put your trust in a guy, and this is an opportunity. You have to take this opportunity.
Sure.
You got to – some of those guys, you know, were the coach at a place like Texas. You don't turn that down.
No, and some of them left other jobs to take it, but obviously Chris Ash didn't have a job at the time, so this was good for him.
Right.
And yes, I'm just saying, I always look at it, you know, 10 years from now, those guys, Coleman Hutzler or Mark Hagan, are going to say, hey, remember that 1 year I spent at Texas during the pandemic? That was interesting. I moved to Austin, didn't get to go out, didn't get to really get to know what Austin was all about, and was gone the next year. But I do think those guys did a nice job, and we'll take your thoughts on that. So, yeah, Kyle Flood coming.
They could say, you know, that 1 year they could say, I spent a year with Tom Herman. And I really did that.
Good.
I took that chance.
You wonder how they'll look back on it, and obviously it didn't work out. But again, they went 7-3. They finished 19th in the top 25. They won a bowl game emphatically, especially on the defensive side. They got better and better as the year went on, and all of them are likely to be looking for new gigs. And that's just it's always good to shine a spotlight on that and the process and the families and what they put into Texas for 1 year. But change happens, and here's Steve Sarkisian building his staff. As we know, as you run it down, it's Kyle Flood on the offensive line. Andre Coleman and Stan Drayton will remain. You know, obviously Kyle Flood replaces Herb Hand on the offensive line. Still a couple of spots on that offense to fill in. And then on defense, obviously the coordinator spot is huge. Who that will be is still unknown. There's names out there, and we'll keep you posted. But we do feel pretty comfortable saying Bo Davis is going to be part of the defensive line coaching staff. We know Terry Joseph from Notre Dame is coming in to coach at some level in the secondary. And Blake Gideon, the former Longhorn, will be part of this staff. So three on defense, and obviously the coordinator's got to come. So those three, Buck, you know, when those are official, they can hit the recruiting trail and get after it, even if you do want to take your time and wait on defensive coordinators you have highlighted as so important. Hey, so
that's the key.
Yeah, that is the key. And now that you got the offensive line coach in place, and as we've said, that we do believe the strength and conditioning coach is going to come from Cal, the Cal strength and conditioning coach. He's got a long-standing relationship with Coach Sark, so we'll follow those developments. Also, speaking of coaching, Buck, in addition to the report of Urban Meyer, maybe by the end of today landing the head gig of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you see who requested permission to come to Philadelphia to speak about their head coaching job? We know Lincoln Riley was approached earlier in the week. Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. No, the offensive coordinator of your Dallas Cowboys, Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore. The Philadelphia Eagles have requested an interview with Cowboys OC Kellen Moore this morning. Yeah, there we go.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Eagles. I'm not an Eagle fan. Okay, yeah, do that. Do that. Yeah, you just go ahead and do that and make him your head coach.
That would tell you, again,
that'd be great for the Cowboys.
You know how the coaching, you were in the agent business and the coaching business. You know how that industry works, both of them, right?
Yes.
They're looking for hot names. And obviously, if Kellen Moore is getting an interview with the Eagles, doesn't mean he's going to get the job, but he's a hot name. I mean, he's a guy that people want to talk to at a young age. And so, you know, Texans are aggressive.
Just being able to interview for those jobs, just to go interview for those jobs is a big deal.
It's huge. Well, that's why the news gets
it
out,
really,
right? Because the agents want that out there for their client. They want people to understand, hey, look, my guy's in demand. Whether he has a chance at the gig or not, who knows? But, gosh, even the Texans this morning whether it happened yesterday or not, the reports come out this morning that they have requested the L.A. Rams to interview their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, who's another young coach, 33, 34 years old, came in and did great work with that defense this year, and they'll play the Packers on divisional weekend. So the coaching news is out there. We'll keep an eye on the Urban Meyer thing. Adam Schefter reporting that he's eliminated all other contenders. If he's going to take a job back in coaching, it's going to be with Jacksonville, and now they're into the final negotiation phase of that potential new contract to take over the Jags. We'll tell you about that coming up. Also more on Steve Sarkisian, Longhorn basketball, the James Harden mess, and yes, if you have a catchy, funny, witty nickname for James Harden at his current weight, we'll take that from you. We're not body shaming, just observing. It's Beanie on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious gossip ahead of your blitz. Loaded up 447-3776. It's come strong. It's only as good as you make it. We'll get back to that Texas defensive coordinator conversation and Longhorn basketball coming up, including Inside Texas still reporting that they believe there's a leader in the clubhouse for the DC job. We'll get you details on that. And yes, the stream of James Harden nicknames continue to come in. Buck, how about this one? James, my arteries be hardened.
New leader in the clubhouse.
You like that one?
Oh yeah.
James, my arteries be hardened.
Be hardened. Yeah, good one.
And as we said earlier, I like this text that says, January 13th, a day that will live in infamy for strippers all over Houston. See, that's true. That's true. They're all taking a pay cut, it appears.
Loss of revenue.
We kid. Or do we? Maybe not. All right, so salacious gossip, the news you need, and you got to have it. You know that you love it. And where is Kyrie Irving is a big question, Buck. Isaiah Collier can weigh in on this, too, with salacious gossip. When will Kyrie Irving return to basketball? Because now he's got a new teammate in James Harden. Now reports, Buck, because he was at a birthday party over the weekend that was for his sister and his dad, and he was seen without a mask and dancing, and it appears at a club, that even if he wants to come back, which we're not sure if he wants to come back, he may not be allowed to come back because of NBA protocols. He's been seen on film in an unsafe environment, which is unsafe for the whole team, which he may have to be on quarantine. Zay, when's Kyrie coming back to play basketball?
I mean, you would think that with this trade, it would motivate him to want to come back, but I say February.
Ooh. Well, it's January 14th right now, so that's not good. That's not good for my man. Not good.
He'll still be collecting those paychecks, though.
Oh. Oh, yeah, they're not allowed to withhold those, are they?
That's nope. He'll get that money.
I like that. I like that. All right, Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light. Only four great ingredients and brewed right here deep in the dang heart of Texas. Hey, by the way, Girl Scout cookies, you know, during a pandemic, not as easy to sell those bad boys. I know you love them, Buck.
I do.
But it says here that Girl Scout cookies, the Girl Scouts have partnered with Grubhub this year to deliver cookies for the first time ever. Sound good to you? You in on delivery Girl Scout cookies?
I don't know about that. I like to communicate with the girls and ask them what's up, how they're doing, what's their best flavor there. You know, how long have they been doing this? I mean, I like to have conversation with the girls. I don't just throw the money and get those all those delicious cookies. I'm going to miss that. I mean, I guess I talk to the Grubhub dude. Ask him what he's been up to during the pandemic.
Grubhub dude.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Zay, you in on the Girl Scout cookies delivered?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some caramel delights right now, for sure.
Yeah, because I guess, I mean, with the pandemic, they're not going to be able to, like, set up outside the grocery store, are they? They're not going to be able to do that. I mean, that's the grocery store's like, we can't. Or can they? Can they do Girl Scout cookies at the store?
I don't think so. You got to be 6 feet apart. I mean, you can't. No. That it's going to be tough on them this year.
I think so. I think that's going to be a challenge, for sure.
Hopefully the price will stay the same, because every year it goes up like 50 cents.
Well, you know. Cost of doing business, inflation.
That's true.
A whole bit. All right, here we go. James Larden. All right. Lame Larden is what it called him. This says Jumbo Harden. And someone said, look, Kevin Sumlin used to be in Houston. Just call him Pudgy Harden. All right.
Pudgy Harden.
I kind of like that.
There you
go. Now, you have told us before that you have gone to becoming Pudgy Bucky because you have lost your taste and you keep eating more and more because you can't. Has your taste come back at all?
No.
No.
No, no. Everything's a bagel. But I try to eat everything. I'm eating some good stuff now that I would never put in my mouth, but I'm actually.
No. Looks like we have a little gap in Bucky's equipment at the house where he is broadcasting from because of the virus, and we're through it now. Let's go to your blitz now anyway. We'll get Bucky reconnected. Let's hit it.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Say, the Brockmire twins, are they related to that character on the TV show Brockmire, or are they not?
No, they're not. There's no relations whatsoever in that one, the Brockmire twins, no. Next Blitzer, you're up.
James Harden swapping teams like the way Zay swaps THs for Fs at the end of words.
THs for Fs. I like it. I like it.
Very sweet. Very nice. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Boy, those Texas Tech Red Raiders sure do love to come to play basketball in Austin.
Yeah, they stole one last night.
They do.
For sure.
They do get a lot of wins here.
They dominated the second half and dominated when it mattered.
58% is not going to get it at the free throw line. Next Blitzer, you're up.
James Harden will be in New York for 2 years. Then he's going to go to Atlanta. Then he's going to go to Miami. It's called a strip club, progression of your career.
Call him James Harden.
Strip club tour.
Yeah, I don't root for him. I will tell you that.
Strip club tour. New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of those Houston strippers let's move to New York, I guess. I don't know.
Did I hear Bucky say something about to talk to little girls all the time?
That was Girl Scout cookies. Girl Scout cookies, yeah. Don't talk to the little girls.
Girl Scout,
but.
Over the Girl Scout.
You're a grandfather of multiple children.
I'm a grand. Absolutely. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev Kearney and Steve Sar Heineken. Yeah.
No.
Hey, Isaiah. Hey, Zaya, you're not the only one that likes those caramel delights.
Yeah, he likes the caramel delights. Yeah, he does.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not the only one. You're not the only
did
one. No, he did.
Heineken?
He did.
Steve Sar Heineken?
Hey, Coach Sark.
Oh, no, no.
Hey,
that's
Coach
not the
Sark,
way to go.
Welcome to town and welcome to the Blitz. It's all fair in love and war. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev Kearney again. Buck, did you say you'd eat anything?
I didn't mean it that way.
You did say you'd put anything in your mouth at this point.
Now, I mean, I eat. That's true. Lots of veggies, too. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hello.
Got a little silent. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, this is Chris Beard. Hey, Longhorn fans, tell me how my ass tastes.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, that was
it wasn't like it was a beatdown or anything. I mean, God, it sounded like it was a beatdown or something.
Hey, they
crazy.
Texas Tech had been 0-25 in their last road games against top five teams, and so they win one. They can puff their chest out a little bit.
I guess they can. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Coach Stark, you might have all these life lessons to teach the kids, but you have an MIT diploma. This is Tom Herman.
Oh, yeah. Well, he doesn't. He's Mensa, though. Is he Mensa? Is he Mensa? I don't know.
I have no clue. I have love these life experiences everybody talks about. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Sheesh, this is Donnie. I want to invite you to the zone on the Blitz. You can do an AAA meeting here with us with Bucky.
I don't think they do the Blitz on the zone.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
I'm pretty
Big
sure.
Big dog has spoken. Donnie's back.
I'm pretty sure they don't do the Blitz on the zone. I think that's on the horn. Now, we'll see some zone blitzes this weekend in the NFL games.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, there's another nickname for James Harden. It says, because of my belly, you can call me, because of my belly, this is James, I can't see my Harden.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you people. You people are funny. I like it. I like it. Keep them coming.
You people.
Yeah, Longhorns did let one get away last night. 58% from the foul line, and Texas Tech hit the big shot when it mattered. We'll let you hear the call again. Texas first loss in Big 12 play. Plus, according to Inside Texas, who's the leader in the clubhouse for the Texas defensive coordinator post? We'll let you know next on B&E.